We're standing between an incredible story, between Parshas Chukas Balak and Parshas Pinchas. Klal Yisrael, in the middle of a story. The last part of Balak, the Torah records a Maisa that continues into Pinchas. It says, Vayeshev Yisrael Bashitim. Klal Yisrael was settled in a place called Shittim. Vayochol Ha'om Liznois Abnois Mayav. And they began to start like doing znus and following the daughters of Mayav. Vatikrena la'om lezivchei Eloheihem. The Bnei Mayav invited them to join in the feasts, in the party, in the food for their gods, for their avodah zarah. Vayoichel la'om, Klal Yisrael ate. Vayishtachel Eloheihem and bowed down to their avodah zarah. Vayitzomed Yisrael val pa'or. And Klal Yisrael got attached to Baal Peor. Vayicher af Hashem b'Yisrael. The Baruch Hashem's anger. There was a tremendous chavroi naf for what Klal Yisrael fell to. And the pasuk goes further and says, V'hine, all of a sudden, Ish b'bnei Yisrael bo. A person came, Vayakrev el echov ha'mesamed yonus leini Moshe. And he took this Midianist girl, and like we see in this week's parasha, we reveal the names. It was the leader, the Nasi of Shevet Shimon, Zimri. He took Kozbi Basur, and he did an act of znus. La'enei Moshe, la'enei kol adas b'nei Yisrael. And that's when Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKoyen, Vayokum mitoicha Eda, Vayikach Remech b'yodai. He took a spear and he went ahead and murdered both of them in the middle of the machne. Vateotze hamageifa, and that stopped the plague that began with the Rebbeinu Shem's charoin af. Vayu amesim mageifa arbav esim olaf. And the parasha ended with this pasuk: 24,000 yidden died out in this mageifa, and the only reason why it stopped was because of Pinchas' brave act. And like we see in the beginning of this week's parasha, where the Rabbeinu Shalom said that Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKoyen heishev es chamasi, he calmed my anger. Bekanayas kinasi b'seichem, when he did an act of kanayas, v'loi chilisi es b'nei Yisrael, and Gantz Klal Yisrael wasn't wiped out the kinasi. Which means the Rabbeinu Shalom had such a tremendous charoi naf. Klal Yisrael, the entire nation was at risk. And the only reason why, like Chalisius B'nai Yisrael, like God's Klal Yisrael wasn't wiped away, what stopped the plague of everybody just dropping dead was the act of Pinchas. And 24,000 Yidin Rachman al-Itzlan were killed in this plague before it stopped. This is the Maisa that we're holding by from Parshas Chukas Balak going right into Pinchas. And it hit me over Shabbos, a new horror. It really bothered me. How could Klal Yisrael fall to such a low madriga like we're seeing in this story? You know, all the other maisim that went on are usually in the beginning of the Midbar. It was when Klal Yisrael just came out of Mitzrayim. It was the beginning of the 40 years. And there it's a little more understandable. Obviously, everything needs explanations. But here we're standing at the end of the 40 years. Could you imagine the madrega of Klal Yisrael after 40 years of eating the man, 40 years living in a desert with the Rebbeinu Shloimeh with Anani HaKavod, Mamash Hashros, Hashchina. Like the Chazal say, Loimitnu Torah Ela Oichle Aman. The Torah was given specifically to this generation of the people that eat man, because we needed that total devotion for 40 years in the Midbar. So could you imagine the madrega that Klal Yisrael was on? It's something we can't imagine. It must have been such a high madrega. And yet, Klal Yisrael in this story falls to Benois Mayav with Znus and Avodah Zarah. How do we understand this? What happened here? So the truth is, the continuation of this story is the beginning of Parshas Pinchas. And the Torah over there writes very fascinating words that can help us understand what happened and how it relates to us even today. The Pasuk says, Tzror es ha-midyonim v'hikisem oisam. The Baruch Shem commanded us to become enemies to the Midyanim and wipe them away. Ki tzoyrim heim lochem, because they were enemies to you. In this story that happened, they were enemies to you. B'nichleihem asher nichlu lochem al dvar pa'or. Through the conspiracy that they conspired against you with Baal Pa'or, with this whole story. The Torah went ahead and told us that you know how Klal Yisrael fell? It was a scheme and conspiracy that went on. This is what the Torah is revealing. Obviously go to war and wipe out the Midyanim. But had they pulled this off, a tremendous scheme and conspiracy of that was a lot of planning involved that got Klal Yisrael to fall. Now what's the story? What happened? So if you open up the Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Kuf Vav Amud Aleph, there's a fascinating Gemara that gives us a little bit detail of what happened. Bilam, who wasn't successful in cursing the Yidden, he tried, he wanted to, but the Rebbeinu Shlomo put in his mouth all the brachas and all the nevuas, and he wasn't successful in cursing the Yidden. So the last thing he told Klal Yisrael was, the last thing he told Balak about Klal Yisrael was, Hineni hoylich la'ami l'cha i'otzcha. I'm going back, I'm done. Like you just told me, get out of here. I don't need you to bench Klal Yisrael. You told me to go home. Yeah, Balak, I'm going to go back home. But I'll give you some advice. If you want to take apart the Jewish nation, I have a piece of advice for you. And what's the advice? Says the Gemara, what he told them was, the Pesukim are not so clear to reveal this secret, but the Gemara Sanhedrin tells us, Omar Lahem, Bilam told Balak, Eloheyen shel elu soine zimohu. The God of these people hates znus. And therefore, if we get them to fall into znus, that's going to destroy the Jewish nation. But how are we going to get them to fall into znus? V'hei mis'avim l'kli pishtan. They love linen garments. I know what talks to the Jew, what type of clothes they like. Boi v'asiyacha eitza. I'm going to give you advice how to set this up. Asei lohem klon, make these tents. V'hoishi behem zoynos. And put zoynos in the tents. Zikeno mibachutz. V'yolodo lifnim. The young lady will be inside, I won't even know about her. On the outside, have an old lady. V'yimachu lohem klei plishtan. And she'll be selling these beautiful linen garments. And the Gemara goes further and says, Klal Yisrael will be there. U'b'shoshi Yisrael oichlim v'shoisim usmeichem. You're going to serve food. It'll be free food, probably kosher food. Even doesn't say in the Gemara if it's kosher, but I'm sure Klal Yisrael is only going to touch the kosher food, so he supplied kosher food. And therefore Klal Yisrael is going to be enjoying oichlim v'shoisim usmeichem. V'yotzen l'tayel b'shuk. They're going to take a trip into the marketplace. So the old lady that's going to be there is going to say, Iyatim avakish kli pishton, don't you want to buy some linen clothing? I have a good deal for you. Zekena, Imeris, Le Bishava. The old lady offers the real price. Yelada oimers loy bepachas. The younger one will offer and beat the price and say, come in here, I'll give you even a cheaper price. And says the Gemara, when you're busy there, hanging out there, she'll tell you, Shev, bro, atzla, sit down, make a good decision. Bro, atzla, pick exactly what you like. Vitzartzure shel yayin, and there'll be pitchers of wine. Amoini munach atzla. Amoini wine will be sitting there. Vadayin lo nesa yayin shel nachum. The wine wasn't atzla yet. It seems like it was talking kosher food, obviously, because the cheshbon was that yayin of a guy wasn't even atzla. Take a drink of wine. Kiva Shashasa, once they drink, Boroboy, it'll be burning inside them. Rashi says, Boroboy, Boroboy Yetzahara, Yetzahara starts burning up inside the person. And then you'll get them to go ahead and fall for the Avodah Zarah of Luz and Avodah Zarah. The Gemara ends off. Vayeshev Yisrael Beshitim. This whole story began with these three words. The pasuk we began with, Klal Yisrael sat in Shittim. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua Oimer, Shenisasku b'divrei shtus. The root that began it all, they were sitting in a place called Shittim, which got its name. They were involved with shtus. This is what the pasuk brings down with the Gemara's elaboration on the story. Now, we could still ask our simple question, even after going through all the details, but what happened to Klal Yisrael? 40 years in a midbar, 40 years eating the mom, 40 years of the Be'er, 40 years of Anani HaKavod, surrounding a Mishkan, Hashoras Hashchina, that Madrego was so great. What happened? So I want to share with you a Moiridik of Maramakim that I saw for the first time over Shabbos. Not related to my question, but this Maramakim, I think, is a beautiful answer to this question. It's from Yonasan Eifshitz and Yaris Dvash. He gives us a clarity in how and what the Yetzirah is. Now, I think this is a life-changing Maramakim. You know, I just heard yesterday from a Rav. He was saying over a moshel. He says, you know, when you walk across the street, you have to cross like a big intersection. You know, so they have on the traffic post a button you press for walk. You ever saw some people, they get to that button, and they're busy pressing it, you know, let's say by Route 9, like slamming it 1,000 times. Then if you press it hard enough, the traffic light's going to change. Now he said, if you have a little more dignity, he says, you know, it's a little embarrassing. You want to do that, but you know, it's a little embarrassing, you know. So if no one's looking, there's no one waiting by the red light or whatever it is. So, you're behind the back, like press it, like, you know, when no one's looking, your jacket's going to cover it or whatever. And every guy in his level goes ahead and uses that button. He said, you know, I was one time walking with, he says, the mayor, one of the big congressmen of Lakewood. I was walking once, one of the Jewish congressmen, he said, he's not alive anymore, he said. But and when I was passing this intersection of one of them with the button, this happened many years ago, he said, this guy told me the secret behind the button. And he said, people don't know this secret. And that's why they go meshuggah and they're busy pressing the button. He said, he even one time witnessed this, Rav said. I was once, he said, at an intersection and the light just turned red and the younger man jumped out of his car by the red light and went to press the button and jumped back into the driver's seat to get the traffic light to turn faster. So that's how people are so connected to this button. He said, but I'll tell you something. Let me tell you the secret behind this button. He said, this congressman or mayor revealed to me, this button's installed, he said, because one of two things. Either you have a traffic light that unless you press the button, you won't get a walk signal. Which means, at times, the traffic light won't give you the walk signal because people usually don't cross it. And therefore, only when someone needs to cross, you press the button and you'll get a walk signal. Or, even if it does constantly have walk signal, but sometimes a shorter version of the walk signal, and if you're an old man and you're 85 years old, you don't have enough time to get across the street, so we have to know that there's a walk signal that you need a substantial amount of time, and that's the button that gives you the substantial amount of time. But, he said, in both events of whatever this button's doing, it never once speeds up the red light or green light to happen. It doesn't change anything. There's everything systematic of when the green light is, when the red light is, and all that. And it doesn't speed it up to make it change quicker. He said people look so foolish with that button, as if they press it 10 times, it's going to help to speed up the changing of the clock. But it's all systematic in a time thing that whenever it's supposed to change, it's going to change. It's just that when it will change, will it give you a longer walk system or give you the walk signal altogether? That's based on the button. But otherwise, the button doesn't change anything about the light turning red to green or green to red. This is what the guy said. Now, the Rav used this muscle for whatever he used it for. But I want to borrow it. I thought it was dava b'itoy matoyev. That when you understand the mechanics of something, then you have a whole different approach in how you use it. You know, all of us now, when we go to the next traffic light, we're going to stand like dignified people because there's nothing to get excited over that button because you understand it's not going to speed up anything. The point is that when you understand the mechanics of something, it changes your approach to how you go ahead and you use it and all that. When it comes to the Yetzer Hara, it's no different. I want to share with you what the Rebbe Yitzchak Eibshitz teaches us in last week's parasha, pasuk in the Torah. This pasuk in the Torah is going to have a whole new understanding in your life, and it's going to change your understanding of the Yetzer Hara that's part of you. There's a strange pasuk when it talks about the capturing at the end of the parasha. It says in the end of Chukas, this is, Ki cheshboin ir sichoin. Cheshboin that was captured was originally, well, it is ir sichoin, it became ir sichoin. V'hu nilcha b'melech moyav harishoin. It was originally captured from moyav. V'yikach es kol ha'aretz miyodei. And they took the whole land from them. And now, when it's part of sichoin, Kol Yisrael captured it also. Because they fought Sichon, like we know, at the end of the parasha Chukas. Al kein yoimur hamoishlim bo yuchesbon. And therefore, the people that make Mishalim, Rashi says, referring to Bilam, they say, bo yuchesbon, come to the place Cheshbon. Simply what that means, in the translation of the Pasuk, was, like Rashi explains, ir Sichon, Cheshbon was originally, wasn't Sichon, it was really part of Mayav. Sichon captured it in war. But this war, the only reason why they were successful in capturing it is because the one that makes Mishalom means Bilam, he cursed them that they should lose. And therefore, although Sichon didn't have the ability to capture it on their own, they hired Bilam to curse it, and it worked. And therefore, Al Kain, Yoimar Moishlim, Boyu Cheshbain, look what happened to Cheshbain, that because it was cursed, that's why they were successful in the war. And this is what the Pasuk says. The Gemara in Baba Basra, the famous Gemara, anybody who learns Mesil Sesharim probably came across this. Al Kain, Yoimar Moishlim, Boyu Cheshbain, the Gemara in Ayin Ches says, Yoimru hamoishlim beyitzra, the ones that control the yetzahara, boyu v'nachshoy, come and make a calculation, schar mitzvah keneged hefseda, the gain of a mitzvah keneged its loss, the hefsed aveira, the loss of aveira keneged oinsha, according to the law, the oinish, the punishment. Zokem yoinset aipshitz, yesh lahavim, maze lahachti mikaydim. What shaykh is this pasuk, Al Kenyoimru HaMoishlim, to what the pasuk says right before with cheshbon being part of sichon and mayav and all that. How does any of this all? How does this connect? Very strange juxtaposition as we see in the pasukim. Ma inyan ze la al ken yemer meishlam. Zokar Beinu said, Aipshitz, what's happening here, the message that's being told is, Lo Yoimar Adam, a person should never say in his life, Ma Kol Kach Nafkamina Bekalos, what does it matter so much? The small little Averis, the small light things, Hurak Goder Ba'alma, that's just a gather. It's just a precaution. Chazal, a little machmid, just to go ahead. You know, they told you not to do that. It's just a precaution. It's not really an aveira. Ula umazel yidei ken yuchlus goyul kama mitzvahs. If I look away from that little thing, I'll accomplish so many mitzvahs. I could do this Hashem Shemayim. That's a nusach he uses later on. Vizeu hefsid mitzvah kenegin tzchara. That's what it means, the loss of a mitzvah. Keneged the gain that you realize I have such gain. I'm not going to do that little mitzvah because I have so much gain. I have a good calculation what I'm doing. V'yikach moshel min cheshbon. Take a moshel from the city of Cheshbon. He ir shal mayav. It was a city of mayav. Hoysoy medes besvar. It was at the border, at the seashore. If the king of Moav was careful about that little city, Sichon would never take it over. But because it was so insignificant, it was so small, it didn't matter so much to the king of Moav, he didn't invest all his effort. Rather, big deal, it's a small little place. And what was the mistake? Kasha kavash sichon cheshbon. Once it got cheshbon, and cheshbon was captured away from it, like the pasuk says, vayikach kol artzoy, es kol artzoy miyodoy. He took the whole land. Once he got that, that made him fool to everything, and they ended up capturing the whole land. Achakach kavash lo kol artzoy miyodoy. V'zeh hanimshol. Zokar Beinu and Aipshitz, this is the Nimshol. When we're maniach, l'melech zokin uksil, lichvoish dover muet. If you let the melech zokin uksil, does anybody know who the melech zokin uksil is? What? The satan, the Yetzer Hara, very good. That's the terminology that's used to describe the Yetzer Hara. He's an old, smart, old meaning because he has a lot of years of experience, not really smart because we call him a ksil, but he has some experience and he knows how to go ahead and fool you with schemes and plans. If you allow him, lichvoish dover muet, you allow him to capture something tiny in your life, libesoif yichshel yoish kulon. In the end, he's going to capture you entirely, v'yishloit boy, and control you. Kirit Sinai, based on his will. And that's what it means over here, the juxtaposition of getting cheshbon, hakein yoyimu ha-moishlam. Says Rabbi Yisun Aipshitz, ki darkai shal yetzahara leilich la'at la'at. This is the way the mechanics of the yetzahara works. It's small, slowly, slowly. Hayoyim kach, Umochor kach, ubo b'tchil b'kavono l'shem shemayim, and he'll always approach you with a presentation of l'shem shemayim. He's never going to tell you just do an aveira. It's a mitzvah l'shem shemayim. It's a good thing. And a meila, when you fall for something small, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, and he ends up getting you entirely under his control. I see it's very late, and it continues for another 2 pages, and a bit off time to go through it all. I'm just going to tell you just a little bit more what he says in short, because it's so fascinating. He gives a whole mashal You can look up yourself, Chelek Rishon Drush Hei, to see the whole Arichos, because so could I. But he gives a muscle how when someone's dressed in Ra, people keep away from him. If you're dressed in Toiv, imagine, you know, everybody flocks to him, because he's Toiv. The Ra you run away from. So he says, Yetzirah is not a fool to come in Ra. He borrows the clothes, he says, of the other guy, the Toiv guy, because the Toiv guy is so giving, he's willing to lend it to him. So he presents himself in nice stuff, because otherwise everybody's running away from him. And therefore, the only way the Yetzirah is going to be approached, that people are going to listen to him and talk to him, is if he dresses up in the clothes of the Toiv guy. And he has a whole arichus, how there's nothing, any time in your life, you'll never see a sign on the Yetzirah that says Yetzirah, that he's bad. It's always going to be presented in beautiful, fancy Toiv clothing. This is the muscle he gives. And this is the same you say. The understanding that I got in this story that was a life changer is this is what the Gemara in Sanhedrin is revealing about Klal Yisrael's Aveira. This is how much what the Gemara in Sanhedrin is saying in Kuf Vav, how it was all very small steps, la'at, la'at, tiny steps, nothing significant. They're serving kosher food, so you go eat a little bit. They're selling some clothes that you like, so you go to the clothes. Everything was small little steps that the Yetzirah gets you and sucks you in to a little bit more, la'at, la'at, until he gets total shlita and control over the yid. And this is the secret of the Yetzirah, how he functions. But it's even more than that. The Chaimis HaLavavis writes that we don't realize in Shar Yichla Maisa Perakei he describes Alecha Ladas, you have to know Ki Asoine Hachi Gadol Shayesh Lecha Ba'olam, your biggest enemy in your life, who Yitzcha is your Yetzahara. He's your biggest enemy. Hanosuch hu yitz hanosuch bekoiches nafshecha. He's intertwined in every sense of your being. Umu'uruv beteva ruchacha. He's part of your natural nature of who you are. Hamanig itcha bimishutif eschushecha hagashmiyim aruchniyim. He's running your life as a partner in every part of your decisions, both in your physical life and your ruchnistic life. Which means you have this silent partner that's your biggest arch enemy. And no way you can get rid of him. He's part of your life for the rest of your life. You have this dangerous partner, says the Chaim HaSalavavas, that's constantly trying to wreck you. He's trying to bring down your successful business. Could you imagine? You're running a business and you have a partnership with somebody. Reuven and Shimon are partners. And Reuven, who's trying to run his business, Shimon is such a dangerous partner. Shimon, for whatever reason, he's trying to always bring down the company. And you don't realize it. So every time you have a business meeting with him and you're discussing things, Shimon's busy using his tactics to pull down the whole business and make you bankrupt. Why is Shimon doing that? But the bottom line is, that's your dangerous partner that you have. Says the Chaim HaSalavavas, and this goes together with Rabbi Yonasan Eifshitz, you have a dangerous partner that's part of your being from the time you were born until your last moment of your life. And there's nothing you can do about it. And therefore, now you can understand why it's so important what Rabbi Yonasan Eifshitz is telling us. Every moment counts. If you let go for a moment to that Yetzirah, a moment you give in, la'at, la'at, like he says, slowly, slowly, if he gets you in one thing, he'll get you in the next thing. This is really the Gemara in Shabbos of Kuf Hei Amud Beis. A person, he says, Shimon Elazar said, If you rip your clothing in anger, you rip your clothing in anger, or mashbir kalev, you throw an item because you're mad and you break an item, you should look at this person like he's doing avodah zarah. Avodah zarah? He got mad for a second, so he threw something. Says the Gemara, shekach umnasi shel yetzahara. That's the craftsmanship of the yetzahara. That's his umnas. Hayoim oimeloi asei kach. Today he asks you to do this small act. Ulamachar oimeloi asei kach. Tomorrow it's going to be something bigger and greater. Tomorrow doesn't have to be tomorrow. It could be the next moment, the next hour. Ad she'oimeloi avoid avoidah zarah. Until it gets you to fall to even avoidah zarah, v'hoylech v'oivid. And you're going to go do avoidah zarah. You give it a drop, and you're doomed. It's over. And I saw Mary Dikamaisa, a great story. There was someone, a Yid, his name was Boris Green. He was a person who was born in Vilna. When the Nazis came, he escaped to the forest, like many people, and he was joining the partisans to go ahead and fight and escape the Nazis. What happened was, the Polish people didn't get along too well with the Jewish people, and he had to start his own group. And this Boris Green started his own group. He named it Nekama. And as a Jewish leader of a partisans group in the forest, he had a different view than the regular Polish partisans. He believed it's not just for the men. Even children should be part of it. Why should they be lost? Why should the women be lost? And he allowed women to join and children to join. All the Yidden he allowed to be part of it. And he had a group of 500 people. Now this was risking his life because children make a lot of noise and it's harder to protect them. The women aren't as strong. And there's a lot of danger bringing in all these people. But as a Yid, he felt it's the right thing. And he had this group that he was leading, 500 people in the forest. Word went out that the Nazis are coming to get rid of all the partisans in the forest. They're cleaning the forest. They know there's a lot of Jews hiding there. That's it. They're wiping it clean. So Boris Green came up with a great plan. And he decided he's going to bring his whole group. There was a very swampy island that was known to be infested with mosquitoes. Everybody wanted to keep away from it. He knew the Nazis aren't going to get near that. So he brought his whole group to this infested island full of mosquitoes. I'm sure they got bitten up, but he felt that that would be a way to escape the Nazis. And sure enough, his plan worked out. The Nazis didn't get near that island. They weren't interested in getting all bitten. And he ended up surviving Mamish with 500 people, saved from the Nazis, and eventually landed in Eretz Yisrael years later. An Adam Choshev, a Rav, one time came over to him when he was an old man living in Israel. And he said to Boris Green, who was Dayan Yonis and Abraham, he said to him, I don't understand where you got such superhuman power to go ahead and lead. You were so young at the time, and you led a group in the forest, 500 people. Where did you get such strength to go escape and fight the Nazis like that and save so many people? And he turned to this Rav and he said, I'll tell you the truth. Four words that changed my life. He says, my name is not really Boris Green. My real name was Baruch Greinemann. Baruch Greinemann, he says, like you know, I was a mishpacha to the Chazon Ish. And as being a mishpacha to the Chazon Ish, I was a young boy, I was a very wild kid. And once we received the letter from the Chazon Ish, and in the letter referencing me, was written to my parents, Zeh HaKotan Godol Diya. Don't worry about the kid. This katan one day will grow up to be great. And those words from the Chazon Ish that I knew about rung in my ears my entire life.
Ze hakotun godul yiyeh. I always knew this godless inside me. I had that inner motivation to be great because I knew the Chazanish said these words, and therefore they inspired me and empowered me to reach the greatness that I became. We all have that greatness. We all had those same words at our Bris Milah too, of Zeh HaKotan Godol Yiyeh. And Mimela, when we have this dangerous partner inside ourselves, the Yetzer Hara, that's there to undermine us, but now we know specifically his mahalach is the very small things. He dresses up as if he's a toiv, l'shem shemayim, you're doing a mitzvah, and he presents you ideas that seem to be l'shem shemayim and a mitzvah in small areas. And he's so powerful with these small tricks, these small schemes. He was even able to bring down the Dor HaMidbar, who lived there 40 years with the Rabbeinu Shalom on the Mon, and he brought down the whole generation, Rachmanu Litzlon, 24,000 Yidden lost in the Magefa. And it was at risk for the entire Klal Yisrael, but like Chalisius B'nai Yisrael. Only because Pinchas saved us. This is the power of that dangerous partner that you have inside yourself. The Mishnah in Avos says, with this in mind, Hillel Oimer, Al Tamin Ba'atzmecha Ad Yoin Moischa. Hillel said, don't trust yourself till the day you die. Which means, no matter how great a person could become, until the day he dies, he can't trust himself. Because you never know, the Yetzer Hara could go ahead, that dangerous partner in your being could pull you into something small that looks l'shem shemayim as a mitzvah and could pull you down. The Gemara in Brachas on Chaf Tes Amud Aleph says, on this Mishnah of Tamin Atchon Yoy Moischa, Yoichanan Kayin Gadol. Yoichanan Kayin Gadol Shimish Pikuhuna Gedayla. Shmoinim Shana. Ulbesoif Nasa Tzeduki. Could you imagine Yoichanan Kayin Gadol? A Gadol Hador 80 years going into Kodesh HaKadoshim. Leading Klal Yisrael for 80 years. Says the Gemara. In the end, he became a tzduki, a koifer b'Hashem. Says the Gemara, this is what the Mishnah means. Al tamin ba'atzmecha ad yoy moischa. Don't trust yourself till the day you die. Because a person doesn't know. There is a dangerous partner inside you that even someone 80 years is a gadol hador can become a tzaduki. I saw from the Medrash Shmuel on this Mishnah in Avos. He brings down, this is what the Pasuk in Tehillim means in Perek Tes Zayin. L'kdoishim asher ba'oretz heima. What does it mean, the kdoishim that are in the oretz? Ratzalaymar, eimosai heim kdoishim kishen kvurim ba'oretz. The only time we know someone for sure is a kadosh is when he's in the oretz. Until he gets to the oretz, we don't feel certain because al tamin ba'atzmecha, you never know. A person has that dangerous partner, his greatest enemy living inside him. You never know what's going to be. And I saw Mori de Gamaisa that happened with Rabbi Chatzko Levenstein. He said about himself, years ago he said he was once in the house of Chaim Oizer. Chaim Oizer Gizhensky was there talking to him in his dining room. And suddenly Rabbi Chaim Oizer had to get up and leave his room for a moment to go take care of something. So he excused himself and left the room. Said Rabbi Chatzkel, I was sitting in his room and I saw his china closet full of silver, all the things in kalim that he had. And I thought to myself, how could he leave me alone with his silver? He trusts me alone with his silver? So Rabbi Chatzkel said, when I was saying this over,
in a shmooze to the Bachram, I saw the Bachram laughing. The Bachram was smiling, as if like, what, Rabbi Chatzkel Levenstein is going to steal the silver of Chaim Oizer? But he says, they're making a mistake, Zucker Michatzkel. They don't realize. Any Yid with that Yetzer Hara inside them, you never know the Cheshbonus, the Moira Heter, that the Yetzer Hara can come up with. Yeah, just take it, you'll borrow it, you'll probably return it one day. Who knows what Cheshbonus could come up? You can't trust yourself. And Rabbi Chatzkel said, at that time I was poor, I had no money, I was a very, very dire situation. Who knows what could have been with the silver of Chaim Oizer in the china closet? I saw a different ma'isa of Loli Apyan in his yeshiva. A bachur once came to him to ask Rishus to go to a chasen of a relative. So Loli Apyan asked him, is this chasen going to be mixed? Or is it going to be separate? So the bachur started like stumbling a little bit. Obviously maybe it was going to be mixed or something. So he said, you know, the bachur started saying, my father and my mother are all going to be sitting at the same table with me. And don't worry, it's okay for me. So the little pian said, and he told the bachur, I don't understand. I'm already 80 years old. One of my eyes are come out blind. And when I go in the street, I'm so scared. Who knows what I'm going to see with my eye? And here you're a young, healthy bachur, and you're saying it's not going to bother you, it's fine, it's okay to go to this chasana? G'dayla Yisrael lived with this Mishnah in Avos. Al tamin ba'atzmecha ad yoyim oischa. He can be 80 years old, and he still didn't trust himself. Ad yoyim oischa. We have to realize every moment of life is so precious. Every moment is there to help us reach heights. You know, just in last week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu, it's such an unbelievable Muslim we have to walk away with. He hit the rock. And what the Baruch Hashem say? Ya lo yamanta bi lakdisheni lebnei Yisrael. In light of the fact that you didn't believe in me and make that kiddush Shem Shemayim, you're punished not going to Eretz Yisrael. Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, I don't understand. Moshe Rabbeinu's life was one big life of kiddush Shem Shemayim. Every move was covered Shemayim. That's what he did in his entire life. Every moment was for Hashem. So one little moment of opportunity he missed, and now he's being labeled, Ya lo yamanti bi lakdisheni lebnei Yisrael, you're not going to Yisrael. How do you understand that? His whole life was devoted to Hashem. And the answer is a foolish question. You know why? Only we ask such a question, because moments don't count by us. Every moment makes a difference. Doesn't matter if your whole life you devoted to Hashem. How are you using this moment? Now you have a new opportunity. Moshe Rabbeinu, what you could have done with that moment is phenomenal. If you blew it, it's Divrei Cheshbon. And therefore, we have to realize every moment is gold. Every moment is a jewel. And that's why the Yetzer Hara is a partner, a dangerous partner inside you. That every moment, as they say in Yiddish, he doesn't luz up. He doesn't let go of you and just ignore anything. Every moment he's working to undermine your whole being, to bring you down. And therefore, we can't look away from a moment. You're holding by the last 2 weeks of Azman. You have to take those 2 weeks and make it the best 2 weeks of your life. When it says in Chazal, Yesh Koina Olam B'Sho Achas, a person can be Koina his whole Olam Abba in a moment. In the last 2 weeks of his Zaman, you don't realize what you could do. Hakol choylich, everything goes after the Gemar. Chazal say, you end with the knack. You go ahead and use it well. You don't realize if it's harder, lufum tzara agro, it brings greater results. And in Melo, this is the opportunity we're standing by. Once we understand the mechanics of how the Yetzer Hara works, you understand his function, what he's doing, a person could go ahead and starken himself up to realize, combat him, fight him down, and utilize every moment. And the Ezer Hashem, we're going to walk away from this man stronger than ever, with greater aliyah than ever. The Baruch Hashem shall help us all. We shall find the inner strength for this last tekufa, and taka pick ourselves up with a new piece of information of what that dangerous partner is inside us trying to do. We're not going to let a moment go by to waste. We don't want it to be the Yeshiv Yisrael B'shitim, to be Isaac and Shtus, because Shtus is the beginning of a whole downfall of the whole generation of the Dor HaMidbar.